Judy Bennett as Sally Clough in Fit to Plead by James Fairfax.
Field 89651, Henry Tolley speaking.
Ah, Mr. Tolley. Detective Chief Inspector Aldington here. I'm sorry to disturb you.
What is it, Inspector? It's 2:30 in the morning.
Well, I've been trying to get the vicar, so I thought as you're his curate...
You've rung the vicarage?
Yes, there's no reply.
Well, that's odd.
I must be away.
Mr. Granger didn't see anything. What is it, Inspector?
A member of the public's just rung. Somebody's playing the organ in Beatfield Parish Church.
The organ at this hour?
The lights aren't on, but there are some people inside.
You don't think vandalism?
That's one possibility.
With the church being so isolated...
I thought it might be some sort of organ practice.
No, not at this hour.
I'll go out there right away, Mr. Tolley. Can you meet me there?
I can be there in 10 minutes, Chief Inspector. Chief Inspector Aldington.
Ah, sorry I had to send for you, Mr. Tolley.
Who can they be, these people in the church?
Well, it's not easy to see through the stained glass, even with a full moon.
Well, they're holding candles.
Yeah, and they're dressed in white.
What have they got in their faces?
They look like hoods.
Are there any vehicles around?
I haven't had time to check properly. Only just got here myself. All the doors are locked.
They must have keys. Unless they've forced a window.
No sign of that, I've checked.
Look, one of them's taken his robes off.
Yeah? Oh, aye. And he's lying in front of the altar.
This is witchcraft.
Hey, it's a woman.
Desecration.
Oh, they're standing over her.
They're holding hands. What are these people going to do, Inspector?
That's what we have to find out, Mr. Tolley.
How?
By going inside.
I should have brought my keys.
We'll have to knock on the door and see what happens.
But do you think... I mean, do you think they'll be violent?
Oh, I doubt it.
I'm not a violent man.
Neither am I, unless I have to be. Here goes, then. Open this door. This is the police. Open the door.
They're running for it.
I'll go down to the back. Will you stay here, Mr. Tolley?
No, I'll come with you. You may need help.
There's about a dozen of them.
What do you intend to do?
Ask them some questions.
This may be routine to you, Inspector, but for me...
It's new to me, too. They don't teach witchcraft at police college.
A van! They're going to get away!
Damn! No hope of getting the number.
Are you going to follow them, Inspector?
Well, I don't even know if they've committed an offence yet. Trespassing a church isn't a crime. Ah... That's the door they got out by. It was locked when I tried it.
The key was never left in the lock.
No, it isn't in now either. Let's take a look inside.
I'll put the lights on, Inspector. The switch is just over here.
I'll shine the torch.
Oh, thank you. Ah, here it is.
Well, that's better. Now we can see what we're doing.
Well, the candles are lit on the altar, but they aren't our candles.
Well, they're black. Black candles.
And what's that on the altar? It looks like a skull.
It is a skull. Hey, there's a drawing on the altar cloth. Been done with a felt pen. A circle.
And inside the circle is a 5-pointed star. That's the traditional symbol of witchcraft.
You know about witchcraft, do you, Mr. Tolley?
It goes back to the Stone Age. It's taken different forms over the centuries, but it's always been associated with perversion.
Perversion, eh?
Perversion of religion by worshipping the devil. Perversion of holy ceremony by performing the black mass. Perversion of sex in various degrading ways. To find it here, a quiet textile town, it's unthinkable.
Is it, Mr. Tolley? I've lived here all my life. Nothing's unthinkable in Peatfield when you know it as well as I do. Oh, it might look quiet and peaceful on the surface.
But such evil.
Well, life is very boring for a lot of people. Dull, flat. All these black stone buildings, the raw back-to-backs, the mists. The sort of thing they've been doing in here tonight. It obviously gives them a kick.
Oh, here's one of those robes.
Ah, the lady hadn't time to get dressed.
It's in two parts, a sort of hood with eye holes to cover the face.
What underneath part's made out of a sheet.
So degrading.
I'd better take possession of all these objects and pursue my inquiries.
Now look, Miss Clough, I tell you it is not possible.
Clough, Dr. Phoebe. My name is Clough, Sally Clough.
It is impossible for you to see Mr. Stanton. He is in this hospital because he is a very sick man.
I have a duty as a probation officer.
I also have a duty, Miss Clough. Roger Stanton is my patient in my hospital.
How long have you lived in England, Doctor?
Many years.
The court has to have a report. I don't know if you're aware of the system.
I am aware of the necessity to cure the minds of my patients.
The judge always has to have a social inquiry report before he sentences the accused.
There will, however, be no sentence for Mr. Stanton.
If he's found guilty of killing his wife, there's bound to be.
Before a man can be found guilty, he must first be fit to plead. If his mind is so disturbed that he will not understand the proceedings, he is unfit to plead. In such a case, he is not even asked to say if he is guilty or not guilty.
If he's unfit to plead, he'll be detained indefinitely.
In Broadmoor.
But, Doctor, suppose he wants to deny it.
Deny what?
That he battered his wife to death with a poker.
If he is unfit to plead, there's no further trial. The law does not allow it. Not even when the accused is a solicitor, like Mr. Stanton.
I have been told to do a report.
I shall send to the judge a very detailed report on Mr. Stanton's condition. And there will be a report also from my friend, Dr. Clarendon.
The prison doctor, yes. But the judge will also...
It was the judge who ordered that Mr. Stanton shall come to my hospital. It was a condition of his bail.
At least I ought to see Mr. Stanton.
What is the purpose of looking at a very sick young man?
I should know that he is actually here.
And what do you think I have done with my patient?
What treatment is he getting?
Peaceful surroundings and the necessary drugs for his condition.
What is his condition, Doctor?
You shall see my report.
I'm sorry to be so persistent.
I'm also sorry about that.
In my job, I have to be persistent.
You are a very young woman, Miss Clough. You are not more than, what, 25 years?
You a mind reader, Dr. Phoebe?
Mind healer, Miss Clough. And it is my intention to heal this patient's mind, if that is possible.
It may not be.
So many questions from such a young woman. Perhaps I may also ask a question. How long have you been a probation officer?
Nearly a year.
That is a very short time. But you are yet so strong.
Life has made me strong.
Tell me about that, Miss Clough.
Does it matter?
If you answer my question, I will answer your question.
All right. When I was 16, my parents were killed in a car crash. So I left school and became a shorthand typist for a couple of years. Then I went to Australia, and then New Zealand, and worked my way around till I'd seen all there was to see.
All?
Enough. When I was 21, I came back to England, started studying again. And here I am. But I don't need psychoanalyzing.
Many persons who say that are not correct.
Dr. Phoebe, what is Mr. Stanton suffering from?
He is deeply depressed, and we believe that he has a schizoid condition.
Schizoid? Can that come on suddenly?
Sometimes.
I don't know Mr. Stanton very well, but I've seen him in action in the magistrate's court, and I've given evidence in some of his cases. I remember the very first time. He must have realised I'd never given evidence before, and he led me through it very considerately. He's a very kind man.
Many of my patients are kind persons.
He was brilliant. He did more criminal cases than any solicitor for miles around. Schizoid means a split mind, doesn't it?
An acceptable definition.
How does he show it?
Roger Stanton is grossly deluded.
What are these delusions, Doctor?
Professional confidence. But the delusions are completely fanciful and of a most sensational nature.
There's something that disturbs me about this case, Doctor. In my job, I see a fair number of prisoners. Yesterday, one of them told me he'd had a tip-off, on the grapevine, that Roger Stanton had been framed.
You should inform Mr. Stanton's solicitor.
I have. I rang him this morning, Martin Hensley. He's Mr. Stanton's senior partner. He didn't seem interested.
Should he be interested in such a rumour, Miss Clough?
You're not going to let me see your patient, are you?
Correct.
So I shall have to report all this to Miss Bordall. She's my boss.
Fortunately, I do not have any boss. This is a private hospital. I am the owner and the decisions are made by myself only. I can think only of what is good for my patients.
We are all responsible to others, Dr. Phoebe. No man is an island. Not even the owner of a mental hospital.
And how are you feeling now, Mr. Stanton? Can you hear me? I ask you, how are you feeling?
I don't feel very well.
Try to relax, Mr. Stanton.
Oh, you keep telling me that, Doctor.
You will soon receive another injection, and that will help you.
Oh, not another injection. They make me so I can't think properly. I can't see properly. My eyes go blurred. Let me try without the injection.
Yeah, in order to cure you, Mr. Stanton.
Let me just have the pills. Let me try.
They're all working very hard for you.
Why does nobody ever come to see me?
You have to rest.
But just for a few minutes.
What can I do if your friends do not come?
Can you get a message to my partner, Martin? Martin Hensley. He's defending me. I want to talk to him about my case.
That is not necessary, Mr. Stanton. Please do not think about it.
I can't have killed Margaret. I liked her. Loved her. We had arguments, but... How? How can I have bashed her head in?
No, Mr. Stanton. You must not think about that.
Blood everywhere, they say. On my hands, my clothes... My fingerprints on the poker. How can I have done all that to Margaret?
You must try to forget about it, Mr. Stanton.
Elvington. He's the one who did it. It was Elvington. He did it and made it look as if it was me. He wanted to get me put away.
Please, Mr. Stanton, please.
I want to tell Martin all about Elvington.
Rest, Mr. Stanton. You must have rest if you are to become well again.
Another coffee, Sally?
No, thank you, Miss Bordall.
Well, you were quite right to come and tell me.
I had to go straight to the top.
I'm not sure you did right before you came. There are procedures, Sally. There are proper paths. The most direct path may not be the best path. It may lead you through a minefield. You knew that Roger Stanton had a solicitor acting for him, and you should have obtained his permission before you went anywhere near that hospital.
When I phoned Martin Hensley about the tip-off, he didn't want to know. I don't think he's very bright. I've watched him in court a few times. Oh, he's polished. I'm not right.
Well, whatever you think about Mr. Hensley, he is Stanton's solicitor. You should have gone to him first. If he said no, you could have said so in your report. Nobody could have blamed you.
Avoiding blame isn't the only object in life.
Of course it isn't.
Roger Stanton's been caught in some kind of trap.
You can't believe every tip-off, Sally.
He's helpless lying there. To get locked away for life. I think that's what Dr. Phoebe wants, so that he can shut Stanton's mouth. And I wouldn't be surprised if Martin Hensley wants the same.
But think a moment. Why should either of them want to shut Stanton's mouth, as you call it?
I don't know yet, but I'm sure that's what they're doing.
Sally, this is dangerous talk, loose talk, irresponsible. Now, you've done very well since you came to us. Don't spoil it all by too much emotion. You must never get involved with your clients. You must remain detached.
How can I in a case like this, Miss Bordall?
Go and see Mr. Hensley and try to do everything according to the book. You'll find it's the quickest way in the end.
I I'm sorry if it's an inconvenient time, Mr. Hensley.
I was playing snooker. Always do after lunch. That's what this club's for, Miss Clough.
I rang you yesterday about that tip-off.
How could I forget it?
And this morning I've been to the hospital.
Yes, I know. I was very cross when they told me.
You know?
Small place, Peatfield. Tight little place. Everybody knows what's going on. You should have come to see me before you went to Phoebix Hospital, you know.
I apologize.
Either I'm representing Roger or I'm not.
I want to do the best I can for Mr. Stanton.
So do I. So do we all. But you just leave all that to me. Social inquiry report, that wouldn't do any good at all. Not in Roger Stanton's case. There's nothing anybody can do for Roger Stanton. And I wish there were. Despite what he's done to me.
Tell me about that, Mr. Hensley.
Tell you what?
About Roger Stanton. I need all the background I can get.
Well, I took Roger into my firm when he was 18 because I knew his father. He was a foreman at Bellesley's. I did his conveyance, you know, when he moved house.
Was Roger at the local grammar school?
One of the best they ever turned out. I was very glad to have him. I said he could build up the courtwork side. Never appealed to me much. Courtwork. But my God, he did build it up. Oh, yes, turnover up every year. Everything in the garden was perfect. And then this business. As you'll know, it's been in all the papers, on the TV, a lot. What you won't know is what it's done to my practice. Clients can forgive a solicitor a lot, Miss Clough, but murder, to murder his own wife, like that, takes a bit of swallowing and leaves a nasty taste behind.
You don't want any more publicity, do you?
It's hitting my practice.
Would you prefer Mr. Stanton to be found unfit to plead?
Exactly what are you inferring, Miss Clough?
I want your permission to go and see Roger Stanton.
I really can't see the point.
I'd still like to see him.
There'll be two medical reports.
Dr. Phoebick's been talking to you, hasn't he?
I do talk to my clients, Doctor, from time to time, yes. You'd criticize me if I didn't.
It is a tight little town, Mr. Hensley. You were right. I've never realized just how tight it is. Almost incestuous.
There's no need to be rude.
But, Mr. Hensley, just let me tell you this. The more that the people of this town try to close doors to me, the more I shall kick at them.
At the people?
No, at the doors. I'm going to do what I can for that man.
Now, listen, young woman. Just who do you think you're talking to like this?
Since you ask me, Mr. Hensley, to a somewhat complacent solicitor, to say the least, with all due respect.
Seems to me, Miss Clough, that you haven't any respect at all.
Oh, I have, for things that deserve respect.
I'm going back to my snooker.
You can spare me another 5 minutes. I want to know more about Margaret Stanton, the victim.
Oh, yes? Well, I didn't know her all that well. Met her at a few social functions. She was German, you know.
Really? Did Dr. Phoebick know her?
I wouldn't be surprised.
Did you like Margaret?
Now, what's that got to do with it?
It helps me form a picture.
Well, no, I didn't. I didn't. You're going to ask me why? Well, don't bother. She wasn't my type, I suppose. Now, you're going to ask me what my type is, aren't you? Well, I haven't really got one, or I wouldn't be a bachelor. A bit blousy, if you ask me. Blousy. Thick lips. Big earrings. Lots of bosom showing most of it. Could have been a barmaid, you know. Not to put too fine a point on it, she was a bit of a tart.
Was there any scandal about her?
Well, people used to say things about her. Don't ask me what, I don't really know. Maybe they were prejudiced against her because she was German. Patriotic little place, Peachfield.
How can we prove that Mr. Stanton is fit to plead?
Well, now. Suppose he is fit. Where does that get us? If you've read those statements, it's all nail on, you know. Either way, he's inside for years and years, and Broadmoor's a lot better place than Dartmoor.
To prove he is fit to plead, what evidence would we need?
Medical evidence. But his own doctor's against him. So is the other side's doctor, Clarendon.
I don't intend to give up, Mr. Hensley. Believe me.
Goodbye, my dear. I'm so glad you called. Smithson?
Yes, sir?
You've got a phone book there.
Certainly, sir.
I want to make a call, Smithson, to the Chief Probation Officer, Miss Bordall.
Ah, Miss Clough. So it's you.
Sorry to interrupt you, Dr. Crowley.
Sorry to be so out of breath. I've been teaching the lads the noble art of boxing.
They told me you were here when I rang the surgery.
Ah, let's sit down then and tell me all about it.
Thanks. I've been getting myself into trouble, Doctor. Professional trouble.
Oh, how can I help, my dear?
You know this murder case, Roger Stanton?
Oh, doesn't everybody in Peatfield? They talk of nothing else when they pour into my surgery, like cattle market day in Ballyghooly.
Well, I've been asked to do a social inquiry report on Stanton. But I've been to Dr. Phoebic's hospital, and Phoebic won't even let me see him.
Old bullethead. He wouldn't.
Is that what they call him?
I do.
What's wrong with him?
Oh, he means well, but he likes trying offbeat ideas on his patients.
He says Stanton's unfit to plead, and so does Dr. Clarendon.
Old Clary wouldn't know much about it. He'd look at Phoebic's report, ask Stanton his name, tell him to touch his toes, and then write out Phoebic's report again in his own words. Charming fellow, but one thing Clary cannot tolerate is work.
Oh, it gets worse all the time.
Wish I could help.
Do you know Roger Stanton?
I've seen him at the squash club, but I doubt if I've ever said to him more than, "This shower's bloody hot," which it always is. He's a damn fine squash player. He was.
Would you say he's a schizoid?
Schizoid? Roger Stanton? Never. But I haven't seen him since since the murder. Whoever did it. It certainly wasn't an accident.
Stanton should at least have the chance to fight the case. But that means finding a doctor who says he is fit to plead.
Shouldn't Martin Hensley be doing all this?
Hensley's as unhelpful as Phoebe. If you take the same attitude, I shall think it's me at fault.
Odd you should say that, Miss Clough, because I can't help you.
Oh, this is all I needed.
Stanton can't be moved from Phoebe's place without a court order.
For which I need medical evidence.
Which I can't give you, because he isn't my patient. And Phoebe wouldn't let me cross the threshold. You know, Miss Clough, after careful diagnosis, it's my considered opinion that here we have an interesting case of cleft stichitis.
Is there nothing we can do?
Well, there is one possibility. And not that I'm advising you to take it, Miss Clough. You'd probably be in contempt of court, and that could mean trouble for both of us. So if ever you say I put the idea into your head, I'll deny it before all the angels in heaven.
Tell me, Dr. Crowley, please.
If Roger Stanton were to... how shall I put it? To decide to walk out of that hospital and happen to find his way into my surgery and said he felt ill and asked me to examine him, I'd be bound to do so. And if I found him mentally fit, well, I'd have to be honest about it.
Oh, I can see daylight at last.
Don't blame me if you go to prison.
Do people go to prison for trying to help other people?
Yes.
Well, thank you for your help, Dr. Crowley.
Oh, I've done nothing except give you highly dangerous advice.
Oh, one more thing. Is there anything you can tell me about Margaret Stanton? If Roger didn't kill her, we've got to find out who did, and that means motives.
One of my women patients did give me a bit of gossip not long before Margaret Stanton died. Oh, I'm sure it's a load of old boo.
What was it?
You remember that night some people were found in the parish church and left that skull and all that?
Very well indeed.
Well, it was about a couple of months ago, I suppose, a week or two before the murder. Well, this patient of mine said they were a witch's coven. That's the word for it, isn't it?
Yes.
Local people. All of them, she said. And according to her, the priestess of this coven was none other than Margaret Stanton.
Hensley Stanton and Company. Martin Hensley speaking.
Sally Clough here, Mr. Hensley. I've found a doctor who's prepared to examine Mr. Stanton. If only we can get him out of hospital.
And how do we do that?
Could we apply to the judge, do you think?
Not without evidence. You'd need somebody who could say from his own knowledge that Roger ought to leave there.
I don't know anyone who's seen him in hospital, except the doctors and you.
If you saw him yourself, you'd soon change your attitude.
I accept the challenge.
Miss Clough, have you no other clients to attend to? If you haven't, I have. Goodbye, and please don't trouble me again.
Now there's no alternative. I've got to do it.
Mr. Stanton, I am here in order to give you a new treatment.
No, please, Doctor, not another injection. I don't need it.
I am the doctor and you are the patient, Mr. Stanton.
I've been feeling better. It's been coming back after the concussion or whatever it was. I have to be able to prove it wasn't me. That I didn't kill Margaret, that it was somebody else. Elvington, he's the one.
Delusions, Mr. Stanton.
They're not delusions.
And you may not remember, but 2 days ago, you told me your wife was a witch.
She was. She admitted it, and we had that terrific argument.
And then you killed her?
No. No, no, I didn't kill her. She wasn't killed till the next day. I got home, and there she was, lying there. I didn't do it. It wasn't me. Will nobody believe me? Will nobody help me? Why will nobody help me? Martin, where's Martin Hensley?
Mr. Hensley is paying for you to stay here. Oh. That is important help for you.
He should be seeing Elvington. That's what he should be doing.
Dr. Phoebe speaking.
Miss Sally Clough is here to see you, Doctor. She's in reception.
Oh, Himmel. Yes, I will come and speak to her in my office. Excuse me for a few minutes, Mr. Stanton. I have to inform you, Miss Clough, that at last my patience is exhausted.
You talk about your patience, Doctor. I've been having a somewhat trying time, too. So I've decided that if you don't let me see Roger Stanton now, I shall go to the judge tomorrow and tell him the whole story and ask him to transfer Mr. Stanton to another hospital. If you throw me out, it will strengthen my case.
You are threatening me, I think.
I'm sure I am. I've tried reasoning and pleading, and I'm moving on to threatening. Yes.
What is your real interest in this case, Miss Clough? Roger Stanton is not a friend to you?
He's a client.
And do you do all this for every client?
I've never had such obstruction before.
In some ways, Miss Clough, I admire you. You have spirit.
Oh, thank you for the concession, Doctor. And now you can take me to Roger Stanton's room.
That is no problem, Miss Clough.
I must see him alone.
There's no objection to that. No objection at all.
I remember you. Yes, I do remember you now, Miss Clough.
You were very kind to me, Mr. Stanton.
Was I? It's very good to see you. It's good to see anyone. No one's been near for days and days.
Phoebix says you're suffering from a schizoid condition.
Schizoid? How do I know if I've got that? Isn't one of the symptoms of being a schizoid that you don't know you are one?
The immediate problem is to prove you're not. Then we can get you tried. Then we have to prove you're innocent.
No. Oh, it's for the prosecution to prove I'm guilty, beyond reasonable doubt.
You're no schizoid, Mr. Stanton. I have a doctor lined up to examine you as soon as you can get out of here.
How do I get out?
Through that window. It's the only way. It'll have to be at night.
Oh, I'm so confused. Phoebe's been giving me drugs.
Roger, who did murder your wife?
I can't prove it, but I'm sure Detective Chief Inspector Elvington is behind it all. He had it in for me. I was defending in a corruption case that's coming up, and I was trying to get proof that he'd invented some evidence. Elvington is bent, you know. Ask any prisoner he's given evidence against, they all say the same.
What can you remember about the murder?
There was this big argument with Margaret the day before.
Mm-hmm.
I'd seen her go to the phone, look up a number in her diary, and then speak to someone about that business in the church, the witchcraft thing. She was obviously there when it happened.
You'd never suspected anything like that?
Oh, it was a hell of a shock. And so we had this argument, the neighbours heard, and things got thrown, broken. And the next evening, when I got home, I found Margaret in the living room. And there was blood everywhere. And then everything went blank. And the next thing I remember is being in hospital and Elvington was asking me questions. Whoever killed Margaret must have been hiding and attacked me from behind, knocked me out, and then made it look as if I'd killed her. The police say I got hit on the head in the struggle with Margaret, but there was no struggle.
How can you prove that Elvington's involved?
I think the secret lies in that diary. There's a telephone number, and I think it's Elvington's.
Who has the diary?
Guess.
Not...
Yes. He's in charge of the case.
The diary isn't referred to in the prosecution statements. There isn't even a reference to witchcraft.
Elvington wouldn't want it, would he?
Did you tell the police about Margaret's phone call?
I couldn't remember that part then. I've had a lot of time to think while I've been in here.
I don't see why Elvington should kill your wife and frame you for it, even if you were going to expose him in the corruption case.
If he didn't do it, he's shielding the man who did.
Or the woman.
Well, yes.
Elvington says you admitted killing Margaret when he interviewed you.
Putting on the verbals. It's the oldest trick in the Crooked Copper's book. Elvington does it in case after case.
He just invents things that have never been said.
What can be easier? And the accused doesn't have to sign anything.
Roger, do you trust your partner?
Martin? Oh, yes, of course. I owe everything to Martin.
He isn't burning with enthusiasm about your case.
He's a bit vague sometimes, is Martin. But he gets there in the end.
He seems to accept that you've gone completely, well, round the bend. But you're every bit as sane as I am. Well, I think I'm still sane.
Well, when I first came in here, I was a bit off it, I admit. Everything seems so hopeless. To lose Margaret and get accused of doing it. And everything seemed to point against me. I don't blame Martin for drawing the wrong conclusions.
I expect Phoebic's taken your clothes away.
Burnt them, I shouldn't wonder.
Does your watch keep good time?
What? Yes, perfect.
Yes, it agrees with mine. Don't let Phoebic give you any more pills today. Pretend to swallow them, but keep them on your tongue. I want Dr. Crowley to see them.
Well,
and I want you wide awake when I come to this window at 3 o'clock. That's in just under 10 hours from now. I shall tap on the window. Open the top part, and I'll hand some clothes through.
Well, how will you get them? The police have the keys to my house.
I'll borrow some from social services. They won't be Savile Row.
Anything to get out of here.
Then you can undo the latch, and we'll slide the lower part up. And out you jump. My car will be just outside the gates, ready to race you to Dr. Crowley.
This is like a commando exercise.
Can you say any other way?
I'm not objecting.
Right. I'll be outside your window at 3 o'clock sharp then. And do not go to sleep. Sally Clough speaking.
Mary Bordle here, Sally.
Oh, hello, Miss Bordle.
Sally, I know it's nearly 9 o'clock, but I must see you. It's very urgent.
Tonight?
Yes.
Oh, can't it wait till tomorrow?
I think not.
Well, all right, yes. But where?
Could you possibly come round to my flat now?
Well, yes, if it's urgent. I'll be there in about 10 minutes.
I've been so very worried about you, Sally.
About me?
I'd hoped I'd made myself clear when I saw you this morning. I told you not to take any further step in this wretched Roger Stanton business without getting Mr. Hensley's permission.
I don't know why you say wretched Roger Stanton. And anyway, helping wretched people is what the probation service is all about.
I've been in it for 24 years and I don't need any lectures. You went to the hospital again this evening?
Yes, Miss Bordle, I did.
And saw Mr. Stanton?
Yes.
I couldn't believe it when I heard.
News couldn't travel faster with drums in the jungle.
This is serious, Sally.
Believe me, Miss Bordle, I was never involved in anything more serious in my life.
I have decided to withdraw you from the Stanton case. I shall attend to it myself. You must also give me an undertaking now that you'll take no further action of any kind by contacting Dr. Phoebic or Stanton or Mr. Hensley or anyone else.
And if I refuse?
I like you, Sally. You've done extremely well since you came to us. Your capacity for work is, well, beyond criticism. But it has to be applied properly.
If I refuse to give you the undertaking?
Orders have to be obeyed, Sally. We're not a military force. I hope the discipline is reasonably informal. I never stand over my probation officers in normal circumstances. But orders...
You are standing over me now.
For the good of the service.
I'm thinking of the good of a man who's caught in the most cruel trap. He needs my help. My instinct is to give it. Can that be wrong, Miss Bordle?
Your instinct isn't wrong. Of course it isn't. But we cannot always do what our instincts tell us now, can we? That way lies all the human wretchedness that you and I deal with every day of our lives. Prisons are full of people who only know how to obey their instincts.
So, if I refuse the undertaking and continue to help Roger Stanton?
You will be suspended, until the probation committee have considered the matter.
Well, that's plain.
Do try to see my point of view, Sally. Don't throw your career away.
Miss Bordle, do you think Roger Stanton did kill his wife?
That has nothing whatever to do with either you or me. It's for the court to decide, not the probation service.
There is evidence that his wife was a witch.
A what?
A witch, so called.
What evidence?
Roger's wife had a diary.
Roger's wife?
This diary probably has a telephone number that could lead us to these witch people, and the one who killed her.
My dear Sally, you're living in fairyland.
I'm going on with this, Miss Bordle.
Yeah, I've done everything I can to help you, Sally.
Whatever happens, nobody's going to blame you.
Think again, please, before you burn your boats.
I'm sorry, Miss Bordle. Good night.
One does one's best. One does one's level best for people. Counselor, this is Mary Bordle.
Oh, hello, my dear. I'm
sorry to trouble you at this hour.
We public men are always on duty. That's what I always say.
With the chairman of the probation committee being ill.
Miss Stevenson, yes.
I thought I'd better have a word with you, Counselor Sugden. I'm having problems with one of my young officers, Sally Clough.
Oh, I remember her. Bright little thing. What's she been up to?
Well, Sally's being very foolish. I wonder if you could have a word with her. She might take more notice of you.
Anything to help, my dear. Tell me all about it, and I'll have a word with pleasure.
Well, it's rather urgent, but the position is this. You see, it started when I put her onto the Rogers stand.
Well, I don't usually go calling on young women at 10 o'clock at night.
If it's official business, Counselor Sugden.
Of course it is, Miss Clough.
No need to apologize for that.
No. Well, you see, my dear, you know what it's about. Miss Bordle has been on to me.
Then I do know what it's about.
Yeah, I remember when we appointed you, Miss Clough. When you came for the interview. Got a future, that one, I said. No doubt I was going to get the job as soon as you'd been in. And we get reports, you know. Oh, yes, yes, the committee keep an eye on things. And I've been right about you. Up to now.
This all began because I was carrying out my orders to do a social inquiry report.
Your orders have been changed.
You knew all about it, Councillor Sugden.
I know enough. I want you to listen to my advice, young lady. I'm a bit more experienced than you.
And a lot more important.
I didn't say that.
They say you own half Peakfield.
That's an exaggeration.
Builder, property owner, magistrate, councillor. Oh, you're a powerful man.
Anything I've got, I've worked for. I didn't have no education. 3 hours, and that's about all. But I've worked hard. Oh, I've done all right, yes. But I've tried to do my bit for the town as well. And I don't like to see a young woman like you making a mess of things.
I'm not treading on your toes.
You've upset Mary Bordle. There's a good woman, that. Known her over 20 years. Done a lot for the folk in Peakfield. And Dr. Phoebig. You're upsetting him. Now, I know some folk don't like him.
I'm one of them.
Well, he's done a lot more for people than you'd ever imagine. I should know. My poor old mum, she's 92. And Phoebig's looked after her for the past 8 years. He understands people like that.
I'm trying to help Roger Stanton.
He's got other folk looking after him. He doesn't need you.
We shall see. But it's no use wasting any more of your valuable time, Councillor Sugden. My mind is made up.
Hello, Miss Clough. 4-star, yours, isn't it?
I'm okay for petrol, Charlie. Do you still have a mechanic on duty?
Not at 11:30 at night. Can I do anything?
There's definitely something wrong with Moppet. Carburetor or plugs or points or petrol or something.
Now, first tell me what it's doing wrong, dear.
Well, she's difficult to start, especially when she's warm. And I've got rather an important job to do tonight.
Rolling another bank, are we?
Not exactly.
Get away, car, eh? I shouldn't look a better one if I were you. Begging your pardon. We're robbing a bank in an MG midi.
I've got to help a client.
And Jay registered at that.
Don't be so rude about Moppet.
Pull her across to the service bay, Miss Clough, and I'll have a look. Things I'd do for you, me darling.
And I love you for it, Charlie. You know I do.
Ah, there's no need to apologise, Miss Bordall. It's good to see you again. Things can get a bit lonely in here at midnight.
Well, I was glad you happened to be on duty, Mr. Elvington. There's a very worrying matter. It concerns the Roger Stanton case.
Oh, yes.
One of my junior officers was asked to prepare the social inquiry report.
I thought so.
You know about this?
Miss Sally Clough.
What do you know about it?
Quite dishy, isn't she?
Quite what, Chief Inspector?
I mean, she's a very nice young woman. She's very likeable. But she's been upsetting people, poking her nose in a bit too far.
So you've heard.
That's part of my job, Miss Bordall. To keep me here as close to the ground as I possibly can without actually falling on my face.
I have heard it suggested that the murdered woman in the case...
Margaret Stanton.
Yes, that she was involved in witchcraft.
Well, she was.
Oh?
Well, there are definite pointers. She was in on that moonlight mumbo-jumbo in the church.
Have you evidence?
Wouldn't stand up in court. But people tell you things. You get hints. You pick up traces here and there. We've reason to think there's some very prominent people in Peatfield are mixed up in this witchcraft thing. But the closer you get to the centre, the harder it is to get the facts. They sew their lips together. There's a conspiracy of silence. Well, as you'd expect. It's not the sort of thing people want splashing about, especially when one of them's been murdered.
Do you know who any of the other witch people are?
Three of them.
It's a long way to go.
Yeah, it's not all that important. The witch thing's got nothing to do with the murder, that's my opinion. So why should I embarrass a lot of my fellow Peatfielders for nothing?
Well, that's considerate.
I was sorry, in a way. I couldn't press on with it. Fascinating. There was a particular word that kept cropping up.
A word?
A sort of password, as far as I can gather.
What is the word?
Angelica.
Angelica? What does it mean?
My guess is it's a way of letting another person know you're in the Brotherhood.
Or Sisterhood.
It's got both sexes in it, oh yes.
Mr. Elvington, are you quite sure that Roger Stanton is guilty?
Open and shut. Argument, fingerprints, blood all over his clothes, confession. What more can a jury want?
I'm relieved to hear it.
The only slight doubt I had at one time was about, well...
About what, Inspector?
Well, there was a fingerprint on one of the deceased's earrings that we couldn't eliminate. It isn't hers, or Stanton's, or anybody's in the shop where she bought it. We don't know whose it is.
Do the defence know about this?
This negative evidence doesn't lead anywhere. Of course, we shall tell them if they ask a specific question. Well, there's no point in handing them things they can twist and make a meal out of. Stanton used to be very good at that.
Who has the dead woman's diary?
I have. It's in my safe over there.
May I see it?
Why, Miss Bordall?
Well, I'm having disciplinary problems with Sally Clough. She's made certain allegations, and I want to be fair to her and to Stanton.
Well, the diary isn't relevant.
Then there can't be any harm in my seeing it.
I haven't the authority.
Who has?
The Director of Public Prosecutions, but he might leave it to the judge to decide.
Which makes it difficult.
Regulations. We all have regulations, don't we?
Oh, yes. One last matter, Chief Inspector. That corruption case that's coming up, the planning officer...
Arnold Fielder.
Roger Stanton was defending...
His partner's taken over, Martin Ensley.
Is that good news for you?
I'd rather have Ensley defending.
Because it'll be easier for you.
He's a very reasonable man, Mr. Ensley. He's easy to get on with. Known him for over 20 years. I've never fallen out with him, not once.
He's a different type of man from Roger Stanton.
Frankly, Miss Bordall, Stanton is too aggressive.
And thorough?
Oh, I'll give him that. He's thorough. He does a lot of digging in every case he takes on. And he usually turns up something. At least he did.
What would he have turned up in the corruption case, Chief Inspector?
We'll never know.
Is Arnold Fielder the only one involved?
He's the only one who's been charged.
But the tip of the iceberg?
There's big money in town planning.
So a number of Peatfielders can sleep more easily now that Stanton's out of the way.
Could be.
You couldn't give me any names. In confidence, Chief Inspector.
As much as my job's worth.
I've heard Stanton was going to make some allegations against you.
He did that every time. Those were his tactics. Attack the police, accuse us of inventing things, planting evidence, making up confessions. Oh, it could be very effective. Jurors are very gullible people, and anti-police, a lot of them. But Stanton won't be trying those tricks again. Oh, no. That young man has done it for the very last time.
Come on, Roger, come on. Wake up. What has that man done to you? We can't fail now. Oh, thank goodness for that, he's waking. It's me, Roger. It's Sally. I've got some clothes for you. Open the top window. The top window. That's it. Here you are.
Thanks, Sally. Sorry, I don't know why I nodded off. When I want to sleep, I can't.
Undo the catch and we lift this bottom window. Good.
It won't move.
It must.
It's stuck.
We'll try lifting together. Right. Now.
My God, the alarm.
Jump down, quick. It's only a few feet. Come on, Roger.
I'm doing my best.
We've got to move fast.
I feel so weak.
No, jump. I'll help you.
Right. Oh, a foot.
You haven't hurt yourself.
I'll manage.
Run for the car if you can. It's only a few yards.
My legs. They're so stiff.
Don't try to hurry up, Roger, please.
Oh, sports cars. They're so low down.
Oh, that's it. Come on. Oh. Thank goodness. Oh, no. He said he'd fixed it. Oh, Moppet, you can't let me down now.
Now, over there. No. I will follow them.
Come on, don't let me down now.
Phoebe has a Mercedes.
He won't catch me. It's the best driver, not the best car that wins.
Thank you for coming here so quickly, Chief Inspector.
Did you get the number of the car, Doctor?
It wasn't possible.
Was the other person a man or a woman?
There's only one person it can be, Mr. Elvington.
Sally Clough.
Correct.
Oh, we'll have him within hours.
Good. That is very good.
If we don't get Stanton by the time the court sits at 10:30, I'll have to inform the judge. He'll issue a bench warrant for Stanton's arrest.
That will be necessary?
It's routine.
It will be better if you can arrest him before 10:30, I think.
How much?
I do not wish to cause any more illness to my patient.
The very fact of his escape
shouldn't do... What will happen to the girl?
Oh, Sally. Lovely little Sally. Have you seen her in some addresses, Doctor?
No.
Oh, quite something.
You like Miss Clough, I think.
There's no sentiment in my job. When we get our hands on that young lady, it'll be contempt of court for her. He knew he was breaking his bail by leaving. She's obviously planned the whole thing.
And her punishment?
12 months. 18.
I shall not wish to make any charge against Miss Clough.
It won't be your decision, Dr. Phoebig.
But I'm often disturbed by patients in the early hours of the morning, Miss Clough. Do sit down, both of you.
Thank you, Doctor.
Thank you. Would you like a cup of tea or something?
We've no time, Dr. Crowley.
On the run.
If they get us before you've examined Roger...
You realise that I am not an expert in psychiatry. Of course, there's a lot of mumbo-jumbo to it. They don't know much more about it than I do, or any other reasonably intelligent person. Nobody really knows how the human mind works. It's the most intricate piece of machinery that evolution has produced.
I'm sure it is, Dr. Crowley. But don't you think we ought to get on with the examination?
We've only read the first line on the first page of the Book of the Human Mind.
Either they get better or they don't. And most of them do, whatever you do to them.
Modern medicine in a nutshell, Roger. Now, what's wrong with you?
I've been a bit bowled over by all this. Finding my wife like that... And being accused and then kept in that hospital.
Anybody who goes into Phoebig's place and isn't depressed when he goes in certainly is when he comes out.
I don't quarrel with that.
Clough is a patient of yours.
She is on my list, yes.
Oh, we want to see her. It's urgent. We think she might try to contact you.
Oh, why should Miss Clough try to contact me, Inspector?
Well, I can't explain now, Doctor, but if she does, will you give me a ring?
I can't deal with this now, Inspector. I have a patient who's bleeding.
I see. I'm sorry.
I must have a patient who's bleeding. Several of them.
Did you bring the pills, Roger?
Yes, they're here.
Now, let me see. Ah, I thought so. Carl Phoebig's speciality. The rest of the profession gave these up years ago. Are you religious, Roger?
Well, not specifically.
Meaning what?
Well, it's all very wonderful and well worked out and intricate. But how do I know if there's a being behind it all, pulling the strings, listening to my thoughts, and writing it all down in a great big book?
A somewhat simplified view of religion. Of course, I'm biased. I'm a Catholic. A congenital condition. And our religion is deliciously complicated. Complexity is all, as in Victorian architecture.
But the report. We're here for a report, and there's so little time.
Miss Clough, when you are talking to your patients, do you always ask them direct questions?
I think so.
Then I commend my method to you. You can learn much more about a person by asking irrelevant questions. And now I've said that, Roger, you'll suspect everything I ask you.
I shall try to give honest answers.
Oh, a most abnormal patient you've brought me, Miss Clough. Honest answers, indeed.
I thought you might want to ask Roger about the case, his case.
If I don't forget.
There may be a knock at that door at any moment.
I shall stall them. Now, let me feel your pulse, Roger. Mm-hmm. Yes. You have a pulse. That is very satisfactory. Is your heart still beating?
Rather fast.
Excellent. Keep it going. After what Miss Clough just said, I thought I should check in the essentials. Oh, before I forget, did you kill your wife?
I did not.
Good. What makes you tick?
Are you back onto religion?
Answer it how you like.
Whether we like it or not, we are here. And we have to make the best of it, fulfilling ourselves, learning and striving, playing to the limit of ourselves, and hoping to find happiness when things click, as they sometimes do, and gritting our teeth and defying the storm when they don't, which is what's happening right now.
Miss Clough, your friend is frighteningly sane. He should be examining me. You can have your report or statement or illuminated address or whatever.
Oh, there's your fee, Doctor.
What fee?
Well, I'm not on your list.
Mr. Stanton, do you think I'd have on my list a man who wants to drag my profession down to the penny-scraping level of your own?
Thank you for all you've done, Dr. Crowley.
My dear, I've done nothing but have an interesting conversation, one of the lost arts of this busy world.
We have to go and see Martin Hensley before he leaves for work and before we get arrested.
He'll be playing with his model trains. He is whenever I call.
Are you his doctor?
Didn't you know?
I did not.
I did.
I'll write out that report now. So, you like my trains, Miss Clough?
Very complicated. Very impressive, Mr. Hensley.
How did you get out of hospital, Roger?
I climbed out.
Jumped.
Is this Miss Clough's doing?
I helped, yes.
I warned you not to interfere.
Someone had to help, Roger.
You're both extremely foolish. I tried very hard for you in the magistrate's court, Roger. Now, most defendants in murder cases are remanded to prison, as you well know.
Well, I'm grateful, Martin, but it didn't work out at the hospital.
Now, it'll mean the prison hospital. There's nothing I can do about that.
I wouldn't expect you to try.
Well, that's not fair, Sally.
Oh, you'll find your saviour to be a very incautious young woman.
We've been to see Dr. Crowley. He says there's nothing wrong with Roger.
His opinion won't stand up against Feebick and Clarendon. You're very ill-advised to leave that hospital, Roger.
There was no other way.
It's bound to go against you at the trial. The judge will be prejudiced against you from the start.
Mr. Hensley, the police have Margaret Stanton's diary, and we want you to get hold of it.
I'll think about it.
Think?
I may take counsel's opinion.
How long will that take?
Oh, you're a young woman in a hurry, Miss Clough. You have no patience at all. Your idea of progress is to cut corners. Look at these two trains going smoothly around their tracks. All is well, because I planned it that way, with thought and care. But suppose I try to be smart and speed things up and don't take the trouble to think about it.
Oh, your trains, Mr. Hensley.
You haven't damaged them.
What a shame.
It'll be worth it if I've taught you something, Miss Clough. And even you, Roger.
You were always pretty level-headed, but now that Miss
Corner-Cutting Clough is leading
you... We've got this report from Dr. Crowley.
Thank you. In my opinion, Roger Stanton is not suffering. He's unlikely to benefit. I see.
How will you use it?
I shall file it.
Is that all?
Maybe some use at the trial. To show it to counsel. Oh,
this is preposterous.
Martin, I'd like to talk to you about my defense.
There isn't time now.
I'll come and see you in prison.
I'm sure I've been framed by Chief Inspector Elvington.
And I was thinking how much better you seem.
Did you know Margaret Stanton was a witch?
These delusions are infectious.
You see, it's been coming back to me, Martin. I caught Margaret telephoning to one of those people.
You said nothing about this when I took the statement from you.
Well, if you'd been to see me again, Martin...
You could have written to me.
This can have a colossal bearing on the murder. That diary may prove the whole thing if you'll make an effort to get hold of it. There's so little
time. Don't excite yourself.
Oh, you're so complacent.
You told me that before.
You were that before.
This is wasting time, Sally.
Oh, you'll soon learn, Roger, that the very worst thing you can do is to listen to this hasty young probation officer. And I must remind you of something else. I am your solicitor in this case, but like all solicitors, I am also an officer of the court. Now that I know you're unlawfully at large, I shall have to inform the authorities. I'll give you half an hour before I ring Chief Inspector Elvington.
Are you looking for me?
Mr. Granger?
I'm the vicar, yes. But you're Mr. Roger Stanton, aren't you? And you're Miss Clough.
How did you know?
Well, the police have just been here. They showed me photographs.
What did they say?
An escaped murderer, they said.
Mr. Stanton is a solicitor.
Yes, I know.
And I'm not a murderer.
You must help us, vicar. We're preparing Roger's case, and it looks as though witchcraft comes into it.
This places me in a difficult position.
The witchcraft?
The police. They were inquiring...
We're not asking you to do anything wrong, Vicar.
Did you know that Roger's wife was a witch?
Well, I did hear something. It has been common talk.
That ceremony in here, the night they left the skull, did you find out who they were?
In course of my ministry, one hears many things. But you can hardly expect a person holding my office to blacken the character of any person in his parish by repeating mere gossip.
You play the organ very well, Vicar.
Oh, thank you. You're kind, Miss Clough. I play merely for relaxation. This is my way of relaxing in the Lord's house and a means of praising him.
Does it give a feeling of power to play the organ like that?
Power, Miss Clough? Not power. Elevation, perhaps. Spiritual elevation.
Vicar, one of those white robes was left behind that night.
Yes. Well, I can show it to you if you like. Come into the vestry.
And the skull, Vicar?
Chief Inspector Elvington sent them both back to me. Not that I have any use for them either. They have a certain curiosity value.
You could have destroyed them.
Well, I scarcely applied my mind to the matter. The robe is in here. It is in two parts.
The top part, it's a hood with eye holes. The lower part's made from a sheet.
What are these brown marks on the front?
Blood.
Blood?
Dried blood. They were analysed.
So the police knew about them?
It is the blood of an animal.
Can we see the skull?
Yes, it is in this cupboard. There.
Ooh. Grinning down the centuries.
Yes, indeed.
It may not be very old.
The skulls always grin like that.
He hasn't many teeth left.
It could be a she.
Skulls are usually he's.
That's feminine logic for you.
If you like, yes. Intuition.
Ah.
What a high forehead he has.
That means intellect. This one must be a man. Alas, poor Yorick.
That you should come to this devil worship in Peakfield Parish Church.
Yes, yes, indeed. But that is enough, I think.
So, that's all they left behind?
Oh, there are a few candles and some wax droppings.
And there's been no repetition since that night?
No. There is, however, a full moon tomorrow, is there not?
Are you expecting a repeat performance, Vicar?
One has to be on one's guard now. I have arranged for volunteers to stay here tomorrow night. If you would care to join them...
We have other things to do.
The police.
They mustn't find us.
Where can we hide, Vicar?
Will you give us away?
If... If I'm asked questions, I shall do my best to do my duty. It is not always easy to say what one's duty is in this modern world.
It was good of that friend of yours to lend us her flat like this, Sally.
Oh, Celia and I always help each other.
We should have gone further away from Peatfield.
Let me get you a drink.
Something soft, please. I must keep a clear head and get all these drugs out of my system.
Roger, you said you were defending in a corruption case.
Arnold Fielder, planning officer. A man who wanted to build a house is supposed to have bribed Fielder £1,000.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, thank you. Elvington fixed Fielder with some admissions he never made.
Can you prove that?
Fielder had a hidden tape recorder.
And the tape?
Well, it's quite different from Elvington's account of the interview.
Who's got the tape now?
Martin Hensley.
Is he going to use it?
He must.
Then what does Elvington gain by getting rid of you?
I know it doesn't all add up, but I'm sure that case has got something to do with it. Planning permission is like gold these days. A lot of people in Peatfield have been at it. The Fielder case is only the tip of the iceberg.
Then there's Carl Fiebig.
Mm. Oh, I don't see how we can connect him with Margaret's death. Except they're both Germans.
Hmm. I don't like Councillor Sandon.
Well, they say he's a millionaire. That man's name crops up too often. I've come across him in case after case, but he's always in the background, just out of sight.
Put Sandon on the list, then.
You suppose they're all in it together. One big monstrous coven of witches.
Working for the CIA?
Sally, why should one of Margaret's fellow witches want to kill her?
She could have threatened to expose one of them. She could have been blackmailing the one who did it.
Oh.
Oh, we are going to win, Roger.
Suppose I hadn't met you.
But you have. Rash, hasty, corner-cutting me.
Are you glad you came to live at Peatfield?
It has its moments.
No, it's not a bad place. There are a rough, tough, rude lot of people sometimes, but underneath, there's heart and grit. Have you ever seen the snow powdering the Pennine Hills as the sun catches them? Mm. It's good to be alive then. It's good to be free, good to know that you've years and years of health and hope and effort and achievement ahead. That's what I used to feel.
And you will again, Roger.
Here it comes.
It may not be them.
This is it, Sally.
We shall win through, as long as we keep our heads.
As Marie Antoinette said.
Ah, Chief Inspector Elvington.
Why, Miss Clough.
Good morning.
What a pleasant surprise. May I come in?
Do, Chief Inspector.
Thank you. Oh, and Mr. Stanton, too. Well, well, two birds with a single stone. If only police work was always this easy. Am I interrupting something?
Yes.
Well, do you mind postponing it for about 20 years? You won't mind, will you, Sally? Nice, patient girl like you.
Don't be offensive.
I've come to take you both for a ride.
Where to?
Well, two rides, to be precise. You, Mr. Stanton, to Dr. Phoebig's little place. If we'd left it another hour or so, you'd be going to prison.
I'd prefer that.
You don't have the choice.
And where are you taking me?
You, Sally, are under arrest for contempt of court. You can have details if you want them.
I can use my imagination.
If you'd had any, you wouldn't have chosen this hiding place. You don't have that many friends in Peatfield, and we know them all.
The fight isn't over yet, Elvington.
Oh, your fighting days are definitely over. Believe me, Mr. Stanton.
Men like you give dishonesty a bad name.
Oh, I like that, yes. Very witty. I like witty women. I shall enjoy your company, Sally. You'll be going up into the dock in the Crown Court later this morning, before Mr. Justice Pilkington.
Miss Clough.
Yes, my lord?
I obviously cannot deal with your contempt at the present moment.
I realise that, my lord.
And so the question of bail arises. Is there any objection to bail, Chief Inspector?
There's very strong objection, my lord. Miss Clough may make another attempt to induce Stanton to break his bail.
But, my lord, Roger Stanton shouldn't be in that hospital at all. There's a medical report to prove that he's perfectly normal mentally.
And where is the report?
Mr. Hensley has it, my lord.
Mr. Hensley?
Stanton's solicitor, my lord. Ah. I happen to know that Mr. Hensley is not in this building.
Mr. Stanton has been given drugs in that hospital that make his condition worse. They're trying to have him found unfit to plead when he's perfectly fit.
These are grave assertions, Miss Clough.
And I'd like you to go into them, my lord.
That will, in due course, be done, I'm sure.
There is just one more thing. The police have Margaret Stanton's diary, and we'd like to see it. It could be of great assistance to Mr. Stanton's defence.
What do you say about that, Chief Inspector Elvington?
Well, the diary has no relevance at all to Miss Clough's contempt of court, my lord.
But the two cases are interrelated. Do you object to handing over the diary?
I do, my lord, yes, as things stand.
Then let us see how they stand at 2 o'clock this afternoon. I shall interpose this matter then. Have the diary here at that time, Chief Inspector. I also want Roger Stanton bringing here. In the meantime, he must not be given any more drugs. I will deal with your application for bail at the same time, Miss Clough, at 2 o'clock. Now, Miss Clough.
Yes, my lord.
As Miss Bordor has kindly offered to act as surety for you, I am prepared to grant you bail in your own reconnaissance of £500 and £500 for the surety.
Thank you, my lord.
So, you may leave the dock. Now, Chief Inspector Elvington, having read all the papers concerning Mr. Stanton, including Dr. Crowley's report, it seems to me that Roger Stanton ought to leave the hospital where he has been residing. The question then arises, where should he live pending his trial?
Well, the only other place, my lord, is the prison hospital.
What do you say, Mr. Hensley?
My lord, there is another alternative. I know it is unusual to grant bail at all in murder cases, but having regard to the accused's excellent character and his unblemished record as a solicitor, I submit that he could be granted bail on terms, despite what happened yesterday.
And what terms do you suggest, Mr. Hensley?
My lord, Mr. Stanton could live with me. We could obtain 2 sureties, I have no doubt, and my client could report to the police, say, between 6 and 9pm each day.
Yes, I agree to those terms.
Thank you, my lord. Thank you very much indeed.
Now that leaves the diary, Chief Inspector Elvington.
I have the diary here, my lord.
I direct that it be handed to the defence now.
Could it be handed to me, my lord?
Well, that is really for Mr. Stanton to say.
My lord, I think on the whole that it would be better if Miss Clough and I were to keep it for the time being.
Very well, but there must be no tampering with it.
I promise that, my lord. It was good of Martin to make that offer about bail.
Yes.
And to let me stay here. I told you he was all right.
I know you did.
Did he say when he'd be here?
About 30 minutes. At least that's what he said when he gave me the key. But look, Roger. In this diary of Margaret's, every full moon has been ringed in red, including the 14th, the night the witches were in the church. And today's date, that's ringed as well. You were right about that telephone conversation.
Which one?
Margaret's, the one you overheard. Now, when you look at the phone numbers in the back of this diary, most of them are obviously Margaret's friends, shops, clubs, etc. There are the names and addresses against the numbers, except for these four. They're separate. They're written under the name Angelica.
Angelica?
Do you know anybody called Angelica?
Angelica? I don't think so.
No, neither do I. Against each of these four numbers is just one letter, A, S, J, and M.
Is that last one, the one with M, is it separate from the others?
There is a bit of a gap.
Well, we could ask the telephone exchange for the names and addresses belonging to the numbers.
They refused to give them to us. They'd tell the police, but we need to know now. We have to find out where these people are meeting tonight. It obviously won't be Peakfield Church. We have until about midnight to find out.
And if we do?
We can go and find out who's in this coven. They must know what happened to Margaret.
You think one of them killed her?
It's a strong possibility.
The police don't think so.
You mean Elvington doesn't?
We could ring the numbers.
It's the only way. The only quick way.
But they won't just tell anybody where they're meeting.
It depends how we handle it.
Who's going to do the telephoning?
Are you volunteering, Roger?
Well, if I felt 100%...
Then Sally will have to be the Aunt Sally.
Well, if we do find out, we'd better keep it to ourselves.
In this town, the only safe person to talk to is oneself.
Well, then, now, I'll start by ringing that last number with the M by it. 66883.
Do I know that number?
If you sit near me, you'll be able to hear the conversations.
Right.
Here goes, then. Engaged.
There is somebody there.
Ringing up about tonight's ceremony?
Could be.
Now let's try A. It could be Angelica.
Briggs and Farnham, Alice Briggs speaking.
Oh, good afternoon, Mrs. Briggs. It is Mrs. Briggs I'm speaking to, is it?
Who's that speaking, please? Who is that?
My name is Goodbody.
And what do you want?
I'm trying to contact someone called... a lady called Angelica. What do you make of that, Roger?
When you said Angelica, she didn't want to know.
It meant something to her, or she'd have said Angelica, or Angelica who?
Or never heard of Angelica.
Getting warmer, Roger. I'll see if M at 66883 is still engaged.
Yeah.
Very talkative.
Must be a woman.
Roger, are you a male chauvinist?
And a bit of a pig.
Do your own telephoning.
It's a joke, darling, joke.
And who are you calling darling?
What was that?
You called me darling.
Me? I did?
Your memory was pretty feeble before, but now it's backed up altogether.
Well, that's unkind, Sally.
Joke, darling, joke.
Well, I do call people darling.
Oh, do you?
Yeah, it just sort of slips out.
You need attending to, Mr. Stanton. We have work to do. You could still face a certain criminal charge, remember?
Yes, I can't forget that.
Let's try S.
S for Sally.
It isn't my number.
Consular Serpent. Who's that?
Oh. Good afternoon, Councillor Sugden.
Sugden?
Who is that?
Sally Clough. Remember me?
What do you want, young woman?
Does the name Angelica mean anything to you, Councillor Sugden?
No, it does not. And the sooner you leave this town, the better. You're sacked.
What do you make of that, Roger?
Sugden's got a finger in every pie.
Even the witch's cauldron. I had a feeling he was mixed up in it.
Oh, I don't see how you could have.
Easy.
Oh, intuition, yes. Well, we still don't know where the meeting is.
That brings us to J. You know, there's something wrong with my telephone technique.
When you mention Angelica...
I could say, where are the witches meeting and can I come along? A bit direct, though. Who's that, please?
Joan Lelywell. What is it you're wanting?
I'm ringing... It's all very hush-hush. But I'm ringing, Joan, because Angelica told me to get in touch with you.
Oh, are you the new one?
That's right.
And you want to know where it is?
Yes, please.
St. Mark's Church, Cottingford. At usual time. See you there, dear.
Got it.
Right.
Cottingford. How far is that from here, Roger?
It's about 15 miles.
She said the usual time.
Yes, that was about 2 o'clock last time, wasn't it?
One last try with M. He might tell us what time they begin.
Yeah.
Eight, three. Oh, well, the end of a beautiful friendship that never was.
So, we go to tonight's ceremony.
That's the idea.
And watch outside.
Inside?
How?
All we need are 2 white hoods and 2 white sheets.
Oh, that's daring.
We've got to be.
Well, that must be Martin.
Yes.
Where do we get the sheets?
We can't ask Martin. We've run up his phone bill already.
Yeah, well, we can buy some. And then needle and cotton.
Guess whose job that'll be.
Hello, Martin.
I came as soon as I could.
We found the coffee, etc., thanks.
We've had a stroke of luck. I've been pumping Elvington. They've discovered a fingerprint on one of Margaret's earrings. They haven't found out whose it is. It could be the print of the man who did it.
So, we're making progress.
What about the diary?
It doesn't help very much.
May I look?
Yes. Here.
Oh, thanks. I'll hang on to it, if I may.
Of course.
Anything else I can do?
Not at the moment.
What are you both doing this evening?
Well, we have one or two inquiries to make.
Inquiries?
Several inquiries, sir. We'll tell you later.
Where's that envelope, Fabig? The one I left with you for safekeeping.
It is in the safe.
Get it. I shall have to destroy them now.
Destroy them?
The photographs. Margaret Stanton and her friends playing little games. Oh, you ruined everything, Phoebe. I told you to look after Roger Stanton. Keep him properly dosed. But you've actually gone and let him out.
That was not my fault.
Him and that Clough woman. They're spilling the beans already to High Court judge.
Our security is very modern.
Apparently. Any road you can say goodbye to planning permission for that new hospital. And I won't be giving you no donation neither. Not another penny you'll be getting out of me.
There are some things I do not understand.
A lot of things, if you ask me. You, with all those fancy letters up to your name.
Why did you wish to have Stanton sent to Broadmoor?
He was getting too close for comfort. Had things organized very nicely in this town till he started digging around. That witchcraft thing, I could get what I wanted out of those people while I had the photographs.
But if Stanton is guilty...
Well, who else could it be?
He will be sentenced to life imprisonment.
After a trial, Phoebeg, a public trial with God knows what coming out. Now go and get me them photographs.
Cars should have heaters that work when they've stopped.
The cars or the heaters?
Oh, don't be legalistic, Sally.
Oh, they must be here soon if they're coming at all.
You don't think they've seen this car and shied off?
It's too well hidden.
The moon's very bright.
I think they'll park on that side of this hedge. We'll see them, but they won't see us for the trees.
If they're all in that van they used last time, they'll lumber us when we tag on to the end of the group.
Nobody knows who's who in the fancy dress.
Should we put it on now?
Wait till they come. Then we'll play it by ear.
Play it by fear?
No, intuition.
Oh, that.
Never fails.
Is that a car, Sally?
It must be them.
There's only one lot of headlights.
Oh, it's coming this side of the hedge.
Do you think they're dangerous?
No, just weird.
They're bound to see us.
Oh, those headlights. I can't see a thing.
It's going to stop here.
Hide your face.
Ow.
Oh, pretend we're lovers.
Yes, good idea. See who it is.
Elvington! Do you think he followed us here?
He could have.
If he didn't, why is he here at all?
He must be one of them.
Did he see us, do you think?
Unless he's gone blind. But he may not have recognized us.
Never having seen us in this position before.
Where's he gone?
Towards the church. Oh, I've lost sight of him.
It all fits. If Elvington is one of them.
My intuition says no.
Sally, I wish we had some sort of plan. This playing it by ear.
Prefer to follow the music?
Uh-huh. I'd rather follow it than face it.
Look, more cars.
This must be the others.
Three sets of lights.
Shall we pretend again?
Oh, perhaps we ought to. Oh, if this is pretending, what's the real thing like?
They're putting on their robe things.
Oh, I wish I could see their faces.
It's a pity they're in the shadow.
We'd better get out and put ours on and follow them into the church.
Sally, the man at the door didn't even speak.
Just gave us candles.
What weird-looking people.
Have you seen yourself, Roger?
It's the flickering candles.
Oh, like the Ku Klux Klan.
Won't they notice an extra tomb?
Perhaps they're having a membership drive. In any case, they can't see who the extras are.
Do you think Elvington is one of them?
He could be anybody.
Why is nothing happening? We're all just sitting here. Can you see who the organist is?
He could be the vicar, but with that hood on.
They're all going up to the altar.
Oh, we'd better follow.
The one in the middle is taking his clothes off.
So he is.
So she is.
Of
who we are.
And we shall see who they are.
I'm interested to know who you all are.
What will you think of us?
Now, nobody will get hurt if they stay exactly where they are.
His hood's come off.
It's a woman.
And it's
Miss Bordle. My boss, Miss Mary Bordle.
Another whiskey, Chief Inspector?
Ah, yes, please, Mr. Hensley.
Miss Clough?
No, thank you.
Roger.
Not for me, thanks, Martin.
Oh, Miss Bordall, of all people, eh?
I never expected her to be in it.
I can see now why she tried to warn me off.
I thought I knew my fellow peat fielders fairly well, but Mary Bordall...
And the vicar.
Well, the organist. Well, that was no surprise. They obviously used his keys on that last occasion.
Are either of them mixed up in the murder?
I don't think so. The witch thing is just mumbo-jumbo kid stuff for bored oddballs.
So, we're no nearer finding out who did kill Margaret.
The only person there's evidence against is you, Mr. Stanton.
So, this is why you came back here, Mr. Elvington, to tell me about Miss Bordall and the vicar?
And my car had starting problems.
I see. Yes, I was getting worried about Roger when it got about 3 o'clock.
Well, we tried to ring you, Mr. Hensley, but nobody knew your number, and turns out you're ex-directory.
Well, I don't like clients disturbing me at home. But you can have it. It's 66883.
What?
Say that again, Mr. Hensley. That number.
66883.
It's the same number.
M for Martin. That's why it was engaged.
I was ringing this number on this phone.
And the number's on the dial.
It was staring me in the face.
What is all this?
Oh, I'd like to know.
Can I see that diary again, Mr. Hensley?
Yes, here it is, but I don't follow.
Thank you.
Well, what's all this got to do with
what... That page. It isn't here. It's been torn out.
Eh? Well, I photocopied every page, we can soon tell.
He's taken out the page with his phone number on. There were four numbers that Margaret Stanton wanted to keep secret, and this was one of
them.
Yes,
it was below the other three.
Now, why should she want to keep your number secret, Mr. Hensley?
How should I know?
Why should she write it down at all?
Because it's ex-directory.
Did you tear that page out, Mr. Hensley?
Nobody else can have.
All right, yes, I did.
Why?
I thought it might be misinterpreted.
What might be?
Well, you see, I was friendly with Margaret at one time.
How friendly, Martin?
Quite friendly.
Behind my back?
I suppose so.
Just how friendly?
All right, too friendly. I'm sorry to say this, Roger, but Margaret was a bitch.
What are you saying,
she
Martin?
She was a bitch. She led me on. I was very foolish, I know. It went too far. You call me a silly old man, if you like, but it did go too far. And then she started blackmailing me, threatening to tell you if I broke it off. And then she wanted money and more money. And then I couldn't afford any more.
And then you did what to her?
Yeah, I didn't do that. No, you can't prove that. You'll never prove that, never.
When did you last see Margaret Stanton? How long before she died?
A week before.
Sure?
It was exactly a week.
We'd better go and take your fingerprints.
You're not catching me that way, Inspector. My print might have been on that earring, but that doesn't prove anything. When we were friendly, of course, I might have touched
it. But you hadn't even seen her for a week?
Definitely not.
Well, this is very interesting. Mrs. Stanton only bought those earrings the day before she died.
Well, that's not possible.
If it is possible, how did your fingerprint get on?
Unless you were the one who did it, Martin, and tried to fix me with it.
What, I'm sorry, Roger.
I see now why you wanted me to go to Phoebe's hospital. Why you paid the fees.
I didn't pay.
Who did?
Councillor Sugden. He didn't want a trial. He wanted to put you away and shut your mouth.
Did Sugden know about you?
No. He thought Roger was guilty.
You'd better come and make a statement, Martin Hensley.
I'm sorry.
I'm sorry for everything.
You know the words of the caution, so I won't waste my breath.
So, Margaret wasn't killed because she was a witch.
No, because she was a bitch. Martin was right about that, and I never knew.
And what about Elvington?
He genuinely thought I was guilty, so he improved the notes of our interview. An old trick of his. One day I'll expose him.
You're a thorn in his side.
He'd have been glad to see me put away.
The main thing is, it's all over now.
About Martin, though. I can't believe it about Martin.
Roger, you know why I suspected him.
Intuition. Yes. Thank you for everything, Sally.
All that, and now nothing. I feel suddenly deflated, lost.
Let's play a game.
What game?
The game we played in the car.
Roger Stanton, you're very fortunate I shan't be doing that inquiry report now, after all. I should have had to tell the judge that in my considered opinion, mm-hmm. based on experience, mm-hmm. you are an extremely wicked man.
In Fit to Plead by James Fairfax, Sally Clough was played by Judy Bennett and Roger Stanton by Paul Chapman. Elvington was David Marlowe, Phoebic, Paul Webster, and Martin Hensley and the garage attendant, John Franklin Robbins. Tooley was Eric Allen, Mary Bordall, Joan Matheson, and the Reverend Richard Granger and Councillor Sugden, Ronald Batley. Sean Crowley was played by Dermot Crowley, Mrs. Briggs, Judith Barker, and Mrs. Helliwell, Marie Dixon. The organist was Keith Elcombe, and the play was directed in Manchester by Kay Patrick.